For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thing with the Niners, it's the same thing with KC. That was a statement game yesterday. Yeah. That was an important game, and I know, we were 3-3, and we needed that win. And I heard people saying that, hey, we're just gonna look at this as another game. It was more than just another game. Richard Sherman and I, we were talking about that, man. Sometimes you just got to, just put on the boxing gloves.
Yeah.
I just wanted somebody to start a fight yesterday. I just wanted to see something like that.
Trent Williams wanted some smoke, Jerry. Trent Williams got hit in the side of the head. He wasn't taking it. Said the hell with that, I'm going to slap you back.
Towards the end, but that was a little too late.
Yeah.
That was a little too late.
I wanted to
see something early. I wanted to see something doing warm-up. Like, here we go. You guys are in our house. You guys done beat us in two Super Bowls. Today is not going to happen. And we're going to knock you guys around. That's what I wanted to see.
You know what, Jerry? You're spot on with that. You're spot on because in 94, after the Cowboys, you mentioned it, they came to Candlestick Park, and there was some scrapping, there was some fighting, there was some pushing, there was some shoving. You guys went 21-14, and then what happened in the NFC Championship game? You punch in the mouth and go up 21-0. I thought the Niners yesterday, Jerry, for a game as big as it was, we all know how big it was, they took something twice from this team, a Lombardi trophy, both in the fourth quarter, once in overtime. And the fact is, they came out there at 3-and-out, and it just felt timid, Jerry. They felt like they were timid.
I'm gonna be honest with you guys, because I was telling the fans behind me, "Hey, look, I'm gonna go out here and start a fight." I said, "I'm gonna go start a fight before the game." And then I even security, the police, and stuff like that. I said, "Look, I'm gonna go start a fight. Then you guys gonna chase me. Then this gonna go viral."
Jerry, no, to but your yeah. point, Jerry, it was too Kansas City was way too comfortable yesterday. That's my biggest problem.
Exactly.
They came in here, it was like, yeah, we don't even have to play our A game. We're going to play man defense against them, blitz them, and we're going to walk out of here with a dub. They were way too comfortable on the Niners' home turf.
Yeah, and really, and I look at body language. And, before a game, the opponent, the home team and stuff like that. I just felt like we were not fired up for that game.
Wow.
And it showed. It showed. And you get the ball. I want to see an offense sprinting, to the field saying, "Hey, let's go." And I'm just watching guys just move real slow. And it's almost like, just another game. It really doesn't mean that much. All of that. That's what I saw. That's the body language that I saw. And it showed. It just looked like they didn't execute well. They did not, have that fire. And with KC, they just had the confidence. They came in. They said, "Hey, we got this crown on our heads and stuff like that. And we're going to get this, W, and we're just going to just ride on out of here without no effort at all." And that was it.
And they're the last remaining unbeaten team in the NFL right now at 6-0 as the Vikings took the L yesterday to the Detroit Lions. And I'm just looking at the San Francisco 49ers team. All right. 3-4 right now. You get the Cowboys next week. You get a win.
Right.
Back at .500. And you get the bye week. And then everything, we'll see if Christian McCaffrey comes back. We'll see with all the injuries and stuff like that. This team right now, though, Jerry, heading into this matchup against the Dallas Cowboys, it feels like a must win. right? It feels like you better have this one. If you're 3-5 heading into the bye week, it's scary hours. Just given how the Dallas Cowboys have been playing, yeah. They've looked awful,
they gotta
Jerry.
They got to kick their ass.
Guys, look. Okay, I thought I saw the worst game ever. I'm going to be honest with the Dallas Cowboys. with what happened there, I think it was on Jerry Jones' birthday or whatever. They got beat down really bad.
Jerry was going at the radio hosts last week. He was going at those guys. Yeah, getting mad at them.
They got beat 47-9, Jerry. 47-9. And Jerry Jones is telling radio dudes that he'll fire them.
but guys, on top of that, I saw another really bad game yesterday. Yeah. And that one really disturbed me 100%. Because we had an opponent that had kicked our butts twice in the Super Bowl. And then to come into our house the way they did and to win this one and walk out of there. So that game was a must win. Now this game coming up, I mean, we got to win this football game. If we don't win this football game, it shows that this team is just going through the motions. And they know the importance of this game coming up. And I don't want to hear this stuff about, hey, this is just another game coming up this week.
No. It's the Cowboys.
This is everything. This is the season. This is the Cowboys. And every game after that, we're going to have to take them, take it one by one. And somehow we got to fight hard. And we still might have a chance of winning the division, get into the playoffs where we can start the season all over again and really, cause some havoc. So I don't want to hear that stuff. I don't want to hear the guys say anything about, like, hey, it's just another game. Every game now is bigger and more important than anything. If we plan on doing something during the postseason and, getting back to the Super Bowl.
Jerry, I need you in that locker room this week, maybe to give them a pregame speech or something. I'm dead serious, Jerry. I thought yesterday it took me off walking out of that stadium thinking that they let Kansas City come in and punk them defensively. The defense played fine, but offensively, to throw three interceptions, to not be able to beat man coverage, to have one first down with basically 6 minutes left in the first half, that's not 49er football. And to your point, the body language was atrocious. So now the Cowboys are coming to town, another hated team. They want to come over and take over the trap. You know the Cowboy fans are going to be in the building. Maybe we need you to speak to the team before the game to let them know how important this is.
Well, I'm going to tell you, too, the Cowboys, after that ball game that they had, they're going to feel like they need some type of redemption. So everything in the 49ers, they probably feel the same way. So, hey, this is a mano-a-mano. Here we go. Back to the old Cowboy days where we didn't like each other and stuff like that. And hey, look, if you try to come into our stadium and try to disrespect us, hey, put the boxing gloves on. Let's go.
Jerry.
Right from the start. Don't sugarcoat it or anything.
Yep.
Let them know right from the start that, hey, look, it's not going to happen today. We're gonna whip that you-know-what. We're going to get that W, and we're going to get ready for the next game.
And that's Jerry Rice. That was yesterday right here on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. And all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop, as you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM, and HD1 San Francisco at Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Niners got to get up off the mat and play a team that wants blood. The Cowboys want to beat the Niners so damn bad. Jerry Jones wants it. Dak wants it. CD wants it. They're trying to get their season on track and not fall too far behind the Commanders and the Eagles in the NFC East. And the Niners, man, they've got to make some adjustments here. What is Mike Zimmer going to bring to the table offensively? Is he going to do the same thing as Brian Flores? Is he going to do the same things as Spags and Schwartz? Spadoni, this is a desperate, this is a massive, massive game for the 49ers this Sunday.
It's huge. Like, you lose this game going into the bye week, your mentals are at an all-time low right now.
Oh, my gosh.
You win the game, though, heading into the bye, you got optimism. So yeah. This is a massive swing here, not just for the 49ers, but for the Cowboys too. So it makes it just even more of an exciting game. Obviously the brands, but where these teams are at with their expectations. Everyone thought before the season, oh, the Cowboys, they'll be a playoff team. Oh, the Niners, they'll be a playoff team. Are they? Not right now, they're not. If the season ends today, they are not in the playoffs. No. Both of these teams, both these iconic brands that we have just gone accustomed to seeing year in and year out make it. So, yeah, Dak Prescott, you just got paid. Brock Purdy, you want to get paid? You got to show out in a game like this.
No doubt.
There's a lot of pressure on both these quarterbacks.
No doubt you got to show out. You got to show out and play well. You got to show out and play well. LeBrock needs a bounce back game.
Massively.
Because there's...
How would you, and maybe we can get into this more, how would you evaluate his season thus far?
Brock Purdy? Down. Up and down.
Inconsistent, right?
It's been up and down. And Mike Sando had an article, and SFG picked this up, but I guess an NFL executive was talking to Mike Sando of The Athletic. And this is what he said. And we can fuel this for the next segment here. One anonymous NFL executive thinks the San Francisco 49ers should look at a trading Brock Purdy to go with the cheaper quarterback. Here's what the executive said. They need to make a decision about whether they should just be moving on from this older core and building around Purdy, or do they trade Purdy, get stuff for him, and go with a cheaper option at quarterback. The anonymous executive then offered the most meathead quote imaginable. It's about being a guy, being a dude. And Purdy is not in that dude category. It's about being a guy, being a dude. And Purdy is not in that dude category.
Interesting.
Is Purdy that dude? Because we need him to be that dude now.
He hasn't been that dude against the Kansas City Chiefs twice now. You can say, oh, he was fine against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. He was fine. That's not good enough to beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Has he been that dude this season?
No. He's thrown the second most interceptions in football. That's not the dude. It's not good enough.
Baldy coming up at 7:30. Can't wait to ask Baldy about Brock Purdy and his 49ers offense. He called the game for Westwood One Sports. He was in that booth, and I saw him after the game. And hopefully he can share what we talked about after the game. This offense lacks firepower right now. They lack a lot of firepower. How can that be with all these weapons? Let's get into it here on the other side, brought to you by our great friends at Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromise.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, Roasters? It's Brian Baldinger with the NFL Network, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Boy, I like coming in with the future. I see you, Cotter. I see you. Baldy coming up in 13 minutes.
Can't
Brian
wait.
Baldinger, Shark
Can't
Week.
Freaking wait.
888-957-9570. Let's squeeze in some calls. The morning after. So everybody's calmed down a little bit. We're not as outraged. But what is going on with the 49ers? I want some solutions. Do they need to tweak their passing game? Does Shanahan need to adapt his scheme? Does he need to play outside of his scheme? What's up with Purdy? Brendan Ayuk, folks, He's out for the season with a torn ACL and MCL. He's done. Who else? My guy Deebo Samuel's in the hospital with pneumonia. He's got fluid in his lungs. He has pneumonia out there.
Your best receiver is Juwan Jennings. He's got a hip injury.
So, we got a lot going on here. 888-957-9570. Then, what's up with Brock Purdy? Do you still believe in Brock Purdy to be your franchise quarterback after that anonymous NFL executive said he's not the dude? He's a guy, but he's not the dude. Don't forget the most wanted tickets in the Bay Area here. We all need a concert, man. We should all go to this.
Where is Ja?
That's right. Where is Ja? Most wanted tickets in the Bay Area here. It's Hip Hop Made the Bay starring Too Short, Ja Rule, Bone Thugs, DJ Quick. Friday, November 1st at the SAP Center. It's going to be rocking, folks. November 1st. Man, I have to all go see Ja Rule. Make it also.
This season is kind of like Firefest, to be honest.
I wouldn't go there.
This season is slowly turning into the Firefest for the San Francisco 49ers.
I don't know what's going on,
it's
man.
Tough scene.
Oh, our pets' heads are literally falling off. Let's go to Eddie in San Jose, Spadone. Eddie, San Jose, what's happening?
What's up, E-Money?
How we doing, my guy?
We're doing good. We need a win on Sunday. We need to win, and we need the Warriors to be 2-0 by Sunday.
Already? What are we doing?
I literally told him while screaming, Eddie, love the energy. Please don't swear. He's like, I got you. I was like, you can swear with me. I don't care. But you gotta swear on air. I got you, man. Don't worry. Eddie, come on, man.
Don't worry about the Warriors. They bleeping out 4 championships. It'll last 10 years.
I saw the description said Brock is the guy. Yeah. So I don't think 49er fans, Eddie anyways, has not lost faith. If we're going to use that word, I like to use the word faith because it's the 49er faithful, right? And I don't think there's a lot of faith right now in either the head coach or the quarterback.
Yeah.
But specifically the head coach, I don't think people are there yet with Brock Purdy. Right. It was a bad performance.
Oh, they're there with Kyle Shanahan.
But with Kyle Shanahan,
the heat is on.
Which is kind of surprising to me, to be honest, Bonte.
Yeah.
Because if I had an outsider perspective, and if you're going for like a national perspective, I think there'd be more faith in the head coach than the quarterback. I think a lot more people are waiting for Brock Purdy to fail. And they're sticking with Kyle Shanahan because they've seen the results with multiple quarterbacks. They've seen Kyle Shanahan get to a Super Bowl and almost win it with Jimmy Garoppolo. So they expect Kyle Shanahan to figure it out. But with Brock Purdy?
You sure? I don't know. You know, the Niner fans I'm talking about, every conversation about the 49ers, not to cut you off,
but no, it's okay. But that's more of a national perspective.
But every Niner fan I talk to, the conversation starts with Kyle Shanahan. It starts with Kyle Shanahan. He's one of the most polarizing figures I've seen in the Bay Area in the last 15 years.
Possibly.
It's him and Draymond Green.
It's
Jimmy Garoppolo.
Jimmy Garoppolo, yeah. Kevin Durant. I mean, he's right there. Farhan Zaidi.
Yeah.
They're all right there. They're in the same pot. And Shanahan doesn't belong in that pot. Draymond doesn't belong in that pot. Those guys have won.
Yeah.
And yet, Shanahan, I know he hasn't won the Super Bowl. Well, players, they got to take accountability as well. But here's Steve Young, because we're looking for solutions. How do you fix it? How do you fix the offense? How do you fix the lack of separation from the wide receivers? How do you fix the lack of execution from the offensive line? Well, here's Steve Young on the Jim Rome Show yesterday and how this gets fixed.
It's got to be Christian McCaffrey coming back and solidifying kind of the red zone stuff. And I think Brock Purdy, in many ways, he's got to – Kyle's got to figure out a place where Brock Purdy, coming out of the huddle, the 11th player, the quarterback, is the threat in today's game. I just mentioned all the guys that are threats, you know, especially in the red zone. Brock has to become that. He's running around a little bit more. He's getting a little bit niftier, but they're going to have to run RPOs. They're going to have to run him, like, literally out of the huddle, like a quarterback sweep. Like, you've got to start doing stuff that kind of gives you an advantage, especially in the bigger games if you're going to go the distance. So it's going to be tough. We get it. But there's still a path forward. There's no question.
And we've got to count on Christian McCaffrey, who has bilateral Achilles tendonitis. But when I was doing my little lap before the game, Spadoni, you know, binoculars Bonte, box score Bonte, whatever you want to call me, making a rouse and just, you know, chirping at some people that I needed to chirp to. So I help put their hand on my shoulder, said, Bonte, don't you worry. McCaffrey going to be okay. He'll be back in November. I said, really? Gonzalo, don't you worry. McCaffrey's back in November.
That's great if he's coming back. What's he going to look like?
Well,
what are the touches going to look
no,
like?
No, what's the team going to look like? Or what's their record going to be?
Unlimited possibilities.
I saw him chopping it up with Tom Brady on the sidelines. Yeah. There was pictures there. I saw you take pictures of Tom Brady chopping it up with Christian McCaffrey.
My Weberthal, man. I had binoculars on, Spadone. I was doing. It felt like an old journalist. It felt good to be out there. It did. Felt really cool.
Tom Brady, by the way, dropping more Sam Frans on the broadcast.
Probably.
He's a San Mateo guy, though,
yeah,
right?
It's all
right.
He's whatever. I don't fight that fight anymore. If you want to say San Fran, whatever.
It's fine.
It's cool. I just know you're not from here if you say San Fran. That's fine. That's fine.
I say SF sometimes still. That's fine. Just abbreviate it. It's fine. The city.
Say what you want to say. Let's go to Roddy and
Say
Cochran.
What you need to say. Shout out John Mayer.
Roddy and Cochran. What? How do we fix this offense, Roddy?
The calls just lit up, man.
Yeah, no, it's just kind of wild. Roddy and Cochran, how do Niners fix this offense?
I think they just got to simplify their offense going back to what they did in 2021. I mean, it seems like he just wants Brock to take these deep shots, or he gives the confidence in Brock to do that. But we don't have the playmakers right now to do that. We need to run the ball, have these 12, 15 play drives, and the defense just needs to continue to play how they've been playing. And then maybe we can solidify a decent season at this point, because in 2021 we were 3-5 with Jimmy Garoppolo as our quarterback, and somehow, some way, we made the NFC Championship game. I think Brock Purdy's a much better quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo is. Jordan Mason's a better running back than Elijah Mitchell, and you still got Debo, you still got George Kittle. Let's just make some damn plays.
Yeah, make some plays.
Simplifying the offense isn't the word I would use right now. It feels like too vanilla at times for me, but spreading the offense out, as Jerry Rice was alluding to in our last interview, spread them out.
Yeah.
And just let your quarterback play quarterback. Let him be the guy. Like, it shouldn't be this way, Bonte, but when I watch the 49ers in close games, why do I feel like, uh-oh, this game's close?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of feeling like, oh, this game's close. Mm-hmm. Because there's a difference. When there's a close game and I have Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson as my quarterback, I feel pretty good.
Yeah.
I feel great. When it's a close game and I have Kyle Shanahan and I have Brock Purdy, why don't I feel that? I should feel good. I get a little queasy.
Well, here's my deal. You know,
it shouldn't be like that.
I'm kind of with Ronnie, simplify the offense, but maybe you could simplify it and do it with a little more creativity. Because creativity is lacking. Creativity within the 49ers off, I don't remember. I think they ran one screen of Garendo. He fumbled out of bounds. The screen really didn't pie. It was just like, it didn't look like they practiced much of the screenplays.
No.
Maybe you're saving it for Christian McCaffrey, because he ran a lot of screens.
I was watching some amazing screens last night as the Ravens were timing
Justice
them perfectly.
Hill, on the goal line, that red zone screen they ran.
They had four offensive linemen just running in front of them.
And they didn't block anybody.
None.
Even Belichick was like, look at that. I was watching the Medicast at the time when they ran the screen. They ran it right into the teeth of the blitz.
Yeah.
Kansas City, run screens, jet sweeps, end arounds, all that stuff. I need some more creativity from Kyle Shanahan. Let's go to... Before we get the ball, let's go to Kirk in Los Altos Hills with the Oregon Dave. Everybody else, well, hang tight. We'll get you on after Baldy. Kirk in Los Altos Hills. What's up, Kirk?
What's up, Captain?
Hi. Thank you for taking the call. I'm not as sophisticated as many of your viewers and callers in are, but I've been watching this club for many, many years, and it just strikes me, my first thought for a number of weeks here is there has to be a strength and conditioning department on this team, doesn't there? Because I've never seen so many people go out from injuries, understanding that injuries happen in football, but to this degree and of this variable nature, like pneumonias and all this other stuff, I just don't understand it. And my second other point is, my whole thing with me and others about Brock Purdy is that it's like, you know, if you go to or pick up a movie, you know, that you've never heard of before, and you put it in and you watch it, you find out why there's a reason why I've never heard about this movie before, because it wasn't very good. And I just wonder, there's a reason why Mr. Purdy was the last person taken, and he's, you know, he's a serviceable quarterback, but given the situation here, I don't know if he's going to necessarily you know, change it around completely. But anyway, I still watch the games. I still love them, and I still appreciate your phone.
All right, Kirk. He's wondering whether or not Brock Purdy's the guy.
I mean, I get it. One game, it's frustrating. He was really bad. God, he was really good against the Seahawks just last week. So I understand, like, where it's a week-to-week league. And one week, you're going to feel on top of the world. The next week, it's going to be horrible. That's why we love the NFL. It's crack for us. We get that. But
crack.
He's going to go next week. He's probably going to play pretty well. If I had to be a betting man, I think he's going to have a good game next week against the Dallas Cowboys. It's very difficult when you don't have your top three wide receivers.
It is.
It's very difficult.
But you know what, though? We saw it on the other side, Mahomes.
Mahomes is the greatest quarterback maybe of all time.
So what? He's struggling a little bit. Their defense did some things. Josh Allen doesn't have a lot of guys.
Well, Brock Purdy's on that.
Lamar Jackson, we scoff at Lamar Jackson's supporting cast every single year. Every single year we scoff at his wide receivers.
Well, there's a difference between those guys and Brock Purdy. Can we just admit that,
then?
No, I agree.
There's a difference between those guys right now and Brock Purdy right now. Trust me. I want to get into it at some point this season. Would you rather have Lamar Jackson? Because Lamar Jackson's playing better football than anybody on the planet right now.
He's playing like the back-to-back MVP right now.
He's playing like he's playing. Nobody's playing better football than him.
And it helps to have Derrick Henry, who's also an MVP candidate. Well, no lie there. But he's also dishing it out. And you were listening to the Manning cast like I was last night. They were talking about it. His work as a pocket quarterback has just improved tremendously.
Every single year.
Manning and Eli Manning and Bill Belichick are just, and those are three Hall of Famers raving about his pocket awareness and pocket presence. So that is laughable that people are saying they'd take Brock Purdy over Lamar Jackson. I wouldn't say that. But there is something to be said about when all is going wrong that I could lean on Patrick Mahomes. I could lean on Josh Allen to win me a couple games with their legs, with their arms. That's the difference between those guys.
Yeah.
Hell, you're seeing with Joe Burrow now. Everyone was leaving them for dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, they're one of the hottest teams in the league, the Cincinnati Bengals. They look great. Joe Burrow's been playing amazing this year.
They looked okay. It looked all right.
Joe Burrow has like 14 touchdowns.
He's playing well. Hey,
body, as you say, divisional game.
Divisional game. They are different. 888-957-9570.
So let's just not put Purdy into those conversations yet with those guys.
But he could be
a top 10 quarterback, but there's a difference between top 10 and top 5.
But you know what? 650 is right. Comcast Business Sex Line. Christian McCaffrey is the key to everything. He's the key to everything. And that's why I believed he was the best player on the team last year.
Do we have Baldy yet?
Do we got Baldy? No Baldy? Let's squeeze in a phone call then. I want to squeeze in a phone call if we don't have Baldy. Boy, it looks like we got Baldy now.
It's all right.
Take a call.
All right, well, I need the names on the call.
Moses in San Jose. We're going to talk to you about why it's Kyle's fault.
Let's
Moses?
Everybody's so rattled back there. It's like our first rodeo or something. Everybody's rattled back there.
Hey,
Moses, what's happening?
Lost to the Chiefs will do that to you.
Moses, San Jose. What's up, Moses?
What's going on, boss? Hey, I'm a big 49ers fan. I'm 39 years old, man. I've been watching the Niners all my life. And I just really think that it's just, we're not in it. I forgot the word how to say it, but Andy Reid and the Chiefs, man, they're always doing different plays.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Kyle Shanahan just needs to switch it up. You know, Purdy is a good quarterback. I hate the slander on his name, but I just think, you know, we need to do something different. You know, I know we've got three receivers out, but like you guys said, the Chiefs don't got it either. So why not call some different plays? And I think that's why we're in this situation.
Creativity. Creativity's lacking. You know, you said something yesterday. I guess the fellas on the postgame show, the Grandy Bandcan, Mark Grandy, Sterling Bennett, Kyle Madsen.
Overtime.
I guess they brought it up. Overtime. I love overtime. Like, that's my baby.
That was us, man, back in the day.
I miss it, man. It's still around. they brought up a question. When's the last time you've been wowed by Shanahan play call?
Yeah. When's Shanny been in his bag, Bonte?
Remember that?
Wow, Shanny's in his bag.
Right. Yeah, I thought long and hard about it.
I said the Super Bowl play with Juwan Jennings.
Yeah, that's probably
it. To Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, that's probably it. I was stumped. I was absolutely stumped. It's like, man, I don't know. It's probably the Super Bowl play.
Right?
That's not good.
I see that weekly with Andy Reid. Weekly. He does something where it's just like, wow.
Let's go to Silk in Oakland. Let's go to our baby man, Silk. What's up, Silk?
Silky Smooth.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, Silk. We're doing great.
Hey, I'm just calling in because I've been noticing, as far as since Brock Purdy been a starting quarterback, he hasn't been given the opportunity to call audibles. Like, if he sees something that, like, Cal sends the play in, he sees something wrong, he just goes with the flow of it instead of calling an audible and changing the play up. That's what Patrick Mahomes does the best. And I think Cal's trying to take the credit for the offense, which is why he don't let Brock Purdy audible, and that needs to change in order for us to be successful.
Thanks, guys. No problem. And that's a Shanahan staple. He doesn't want his quarterbacks audible because he believes his play calls have built-in advantages to defeat blitzes, to defeat other coverages. He feels like his quarterback doesn't need to have that on his plate. Well, there's too many free blitzers coming in. Kansas City, Minnesota, you name it, Arizona. Too many free blitzers are coming in unblocked.
Shanahan, for the most part, has answers to the test, right? That's what I like to say. I have answers to the test. Right now, they don't have the answers to the test.
No, they don't.
They don't, and they need them, and they got to figure it out why. And we got answers to our test, though, here at 95.7 The Game.
With Baldy in just a second.
Brian Baldy
just a second. Not yet. We're efforting Baldy, but let's get to Aaron in Iowa out there in the cornfields. He's in the cornfields. He wants to talk Niners. Aaron, what's happening?
Oh.
Hey, nothing much. Basically, for me, the biggest thing is I think that Shanahan needs to change up, as he needs to let the team go into no huddle so that way you catch the defense off guard a little bit more. I mean, you think about it, how many times is the play clock being snapped with 7 seconds or less? This gives the defense too much time to get prepped and ready for whatever they want. If you're doing no huddle, you can just keep your wide receivers running. You can get them running down the field, and the guys aren't able to get set. I mean, what's the one thing that defensive linemen need to do and edge rushers need to do to really get going? They need to be able to get anchored and set to get that good push-off. If you're doing no huddle, they can't do that.
Wow.
Aaron, you sound like you're doing the no huddle right now. You're winded, my guy.
Yeah, what are you doing right now, Aaron? What's going on in Iowa? What are you doing?
Oh, I'm not really doing anything. I'm just excited. And it's just like,
he's just fired up.
He's so fired up.
Irritating because I'm an Iowa State fan.
I was going to ask you.
Purdy ever. Yeah. He had his...
Yeah.
Yes, I've been rooting for Purdy ever since he took his first snaps at Iowa State. He is much better quarterback than most people give him. And then here's another thing. Everybody wants to talk about how Purdy has the Avengers. I've never once thought that Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk was even in the top 20 wide receiver category in the NFL.
I don't know about that. He was second team All-Pro last year, yeah.
Iowa State having a good year, Aaron. Aaron, you guys might be in a Big 12 championship this year. Iowa State playing well. Got to say bye-bye to you and get to our main man because it is Shark Week. Hit me with the Shark Week intro. We've been waiting too long, man. We need Baldy in our life.
Give it to me.
He breaks down plays better than anyone.
I mean, this is like Shark Week now. And you know what Baker Mayfield is? He's chum. Look at these sharks. You think you're getting away from those four angry sharks? It's Shark Week. It's time to eat. Make the read. Urgency. That's the name of the game right here. Urgency. Now, on it. He's on it. Touchdown. Beautiful throw.
He's our 95.7 The Game NFL insider, Brian Baldinger.
All right, Brian Baldinger joining us on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. He was just out here in the Bay Area having a hell of a time. We had breakfast with Baldy Friday with some great listeners. Jax presented the breakfast. Jack's Restaurant and Bar. It was awesome. The breakfast burritos were gone in 15 minutes.
The guacamole, the pico de gallo, the salsa verde.
It was all good. So good. The audience, the crowd that came in, asked some great questions of Brian Baldinger, so we'll get him out of here. And we have him. There he is. Finally, we got Baldy here on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. And Baldy, it was great to have you out in town last weekend. Thank you so much for joining us for 4 hours. Saw you at Levi Stadium making the rounds there as a Chiefs coming to Levi's and really just take it to the 49ers. And I thought the tone was set the first four plays of the game, Baldy, with the 49ers offense. And it was a microcosm of what was to come. You get it. A gain of one, Jordan Mason. You get called for a holding call. All of a sudden, you're behind and down the distance, and you're running half fullback draw to Kyle Juszczyk, and boom, you punt. Next possession, interception, first play. I don't know what Purdy's looking at. They wasted field position, and just offensively just looked stagnant, Baldy. What a disappointing loss to the Kansas City Chiefs.
It was, and, you know, the one thing Kansas City has, and I talked to the linebacker coach for Kansas City before the game, but, you know, they've got three big linebackers that they play. They play more three linebacker sets than anybody in the league. But Leo Chenal is 255 pounds. Drew Tranquil is 245. Nick Bolton is he's a Fred Warner. He's just an excellent player. They put those guys on the field. They couldn't move them. They just stuffed them. And so, you know, Jordan Mason goes 5 carries for 3 yards in the first half. And then what happens is they didn't make their third downs and ones either. And Kyle is not a guy. He just hasn't. I don't know what the analytics say in his book. A lot of teams on 4th-and-1 are going for it, especially in your own territory. And they don't. And so they got stuffed on, you know, 2 3rd-and-1s. They've been stuffed a lot on those type plays. And they can't convert in order to stay on the field and sustain offense. And so they had some issues like that. But, you know, they knew that Kansas City was going to come out with those three big linebackers, and they didn't do anything about it. And so they kind of won the line of scrimmage there in that first half.
Baldy, what's more alarming to you about this offense? And I'll let you jump in here, Spadoni, but is it the lack of separation of receivers gain on the outside? Is it the route concepts they're running? Or is it the lack of creativity cover for Kyle Shanahan? Because I didn't see any creativity against Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs defense this past Sunday, Baldy.
I would agree. I think the lack of separation is real. You know, I talked to Ayuk before the game, and, I just feel sick about what happened to him. He's going over the middle. It's, he plays with no fear, and he took that shot from that safety, Chamari Connor, and it was just ugly. But, you know, he's the one guy that can separate because of his route running ability, but they played him up in man like they did in the Super Bowl. And, you know, even Ricky Pearsall, got a chance to get out there, made a couple catches, but he had trouble separating. And so I see it around the league. You know, if guys aren't separating quickly, whether it's the release off the line of scrimmage the way, say, a guy like Davante Adams does, if you can't separate quickly, then you better figure out a way against man coverage or the anticipation of man coverage to get guys open, whether it's bunch formation, you know, whether it's rub routes, whatever it is, then you got to help your guys out. And so I see that as an issue right now.
I don't think I've seen a worse performance at the NFL level from Brock Purdy than I did on Sunday. He just looked lost. He looked like he didn't trust his receivers, and rightfully so. No Debo, no Juwan. Ayuk leaves. Obviously, Kittle had a big play, but even the big plays, Baldy, they were average throws. You heard Tom Brady, he was on the broadcast. He was saying, man, if he just connected there with Cowing or Kittle, he got touchdowns instead of settling for deep bombs. What were you seeing from Purdy on Sunday, and why was he struggling so much?
I don't understand the interception to Ronnie Bell. Like, I don't know. Like, it looked to me like Ronnie ran the wrong route. But yet Kyle and Purdy both said that he just sailed the ball. But, like, he wins on the route. He comes back to the ball. He gets separation. But the ball is, I don't know where he's throwing. He doesn't have an occluded obstruction, you know, on his face or anything. He's got great protection. It looks like a routine throw to the sidelines, and he sails it on Ronnie Bell. Like, that didn't make sense, but you're right. You know, the go route to Kittle, he gets behind Justin Reed, and, you know, it should be a walk-in touchdown. And he underthrows it, and so it's just a big chunk, but it's not a touchdown. Same thing with Cowling. So, like, he looked off from the very beginning. I haven't really seen him play like that. Now, I think I've seen every one of his games and watched and studied everyone, but I haven't seen him, like, they just looked flat as a group. But, he's got to be the leader. And just talking to Brady, I know he's not in love with them, but then, you know, to see him live like that, I'm sure he wasn't very complimentary with some of the things that he did in that game.
So when I'm watching the game, we're doing a lot of juxtaposing between what we're seeing from Patrick Mahomes and Brock Purdy, right? And what separates Patrick Mahomes and the Josh Allens and the Lamar Jacksons was everything's not going well, right, when they don't have some of their top guys. Like, you saw it there. Juju Smith-Schuster's out of the game. They don't have Hollywood Brown. They don't have Rashee Rice. But we're all watching Patrick Mahomes knowing, you know what, he's still got old man Travis Kelce. He got Noah Gray. He'll figure out a way. I think that's the next step, right, for a guy like Brock Purdy, who we want to anoint and want to, you know, he was an MVP candidate last year. We want to see that if he is the dude, if he is the guy, he could elevate lesser talent around him. And I think he's going to have to do that, Baldy, going forward. No Ayuk. We'll see with Juwan Jennings. Debo Samuel's got a pneumonia. He might not play this week. You got Ricky Pearsall now. You got, you know, Jacob Cowing. You got Ronnie Bell. How is he going to have to elevate the talent around him going forward in such a short period of time against a desperate Dallas Cowboys team?
Well, you're spot on, Joe. Spot on. Like, you have to elevate everybody around you. That's your job. And so the offense might have to be tweaked, might have to change a little bit, but he's going to have to play better. The big thing is, you know, converting on third downs and staying on the field. But, you know, I mean, actually what Brady said, like, who cares if your top two guys are down? He told me that on the sideline. Nobody cares. Like, you got to play. You got to make your job is to complete the pass, sustain offense, and make the big plays. That's his job. Like, you know, I talked to the owner, you know, Jed York. Like, you know, he's going to figure out a way to write the check. But if you're going to write a check for $60 million, you know, this is a good test to see what he can do until, you know, I don't know what McCaffrey's status is. Nobody does. So, you know, he's going to make a difference, I think. But I don't know how much you can count on him right now. I don't think you have to go with what you got right now in Mason and Garendo. That's what you got. And so you got Dallas coming to town. They're limping, coming off a bye. But I'm sure Michael will be back, and he always causes, you know, problems just being on the field. So this is a good test, a really good test here for these stretch of games. Like, I doubt Debo's going to come off the hospital bed with pneumonia and play. So you're throwing to Ronnie Bell. You're throwing to Ricky Pearsall. This is Jacob Cowling. This is what you're throwing to. And other quarterbacks who have been paid and played at elite levels, they figure out a way. That's the challenge for them right now.
Wow. Baldy here on the Morning Rush on 95.7 The Game. Joins us every single Tuesday, 7:30 in the morning. You mentioned you talked to Brady. I saw you talking to Brady. Baldy, let me tell you something. Baldy, he really makes the rounds, man. The way he works pregame, it's smart, though. He's talking. He's getting his intel. And the players respect him. To see it up close and personal, how the players see Baldy, they're like, oh, I got to stop my routine. Big Trent. I wouldn't mess with Big Trent before a game. Baldy just puts his head out. Big Trent. Oh, hold on. Let me take my headphones off. Let me chop it up with Baldy for about 5 minutes. I'm like, damn. I want to be Baldy one day in my life. But you talked to Brady and you mentioned it. What did Brady like about Purdy? And what didn't he like about Purdy? If there's anything he didn't like about Purdy, Baldy.
Well, I mean, I think that he thinks he's got some restrictions with his arm. He's got some restrictions with his size. Okay. You know, you're at 6'1". You know, you're not going to have the view that Brady had at 6'6" with an over the top release. He likes his ability to move. He likes his ability to process, but you know, the arm's never going to probably get stronger. He does have good instincts. As far as he was telling me a story about, like, I asked him, like, can you coach pocket awareness? He's like, absolutely not. He goes, either you have that or you don't. I think he's got that. But, you know, his physical prowess, he's not going to get any faster. Mm-hmm. He's not going to get any taller. His arm's probably not going to get a lot stronger. So that's what you have to work with. And so there's some limitations. Like, Mahomes never has to worry about his arm. You know, when he's 40, he's going to be able to gunsling that thing right in any direction. Like, he's not gifted like that. But he does have a pocket awareness the way Patrick does. You know, and he probably doesn't have the stick accuracy on the move to make every single throw when it calls for that, like we've seen Mahomes do for 8 years.
So watching him against Spags, and he's running his blitzes, and they're just playing man defense. We had Jerry Rice on yesterday, Baldy, and he's mentioned it. You mentioned it. Patrick Peterson's mentioned it. Jay Gruden's mentioned it. The Niners are hell bent on making these crossers and drags and these slants work over the middle of the field. But it seems like they are hesitant to throw outside the numbers. Is that something Kyle has done over the last couple of years where he said, you know, we're going to do what we do, but when things get congested in the middle of the field, it seems like there's no adjustment to maybe use every blade of grass like Andy does with the Kansas City Chiefs?
I would agree with that. I mean, I know Kyle wants to attack the middle of the field. I mean, you know, the throws to Kittle in the middle of the field, I mean, he's beaten Justin Reed. And so that's a good matchup right there. So, you know, they got that a couple of times. But, you know, they do a lot of spacing, but a lot of it is seam routes. They're not attacking cover three with any sort of, double moves on the outside and, you know, post wheel routes that can attack the backside of that cover three. It's not really what he does. There's some limitations here. I mean, without McCaffrey, which is the ultimate matchup guy, especially against linebackers, like, you know, they tried to get juice down the sideline, you know, against Leo Chenal, and Chenal made a great play. You know, it was there. I thought he underthrew juice a little bit. I thought juice had a step on him, but I thought he threw a flat ball instead of one that needed a little bit more arc. I think Purdy would agree with that, but allowed Chenal to make that play. But, you know, they didn't get those linebackers, you know, whether it was Tranquil or Chanel. They didn't really get them involved in coverage. And I thought they were trying to do that a little bit more, especially since they played so much three linebacker sets in that game. Over 50% of the defensive snaps were with those big linebackers. They were determined to stop the run. They used Bolton as a spy at times on Purdy. But they were really effective using that. And, you know, outside of the one Mason run in the fourth quarter, they really contained the running game all day.
Talking to 95.7 The Game, NFL insider Brian Baldinger here on the River Islands guest line. Spadoni and Fruchaski alongside Bonte Hill. And Baldy, the loss of Brandon Ayuk, like, he wasn't having a great season. He did the hold in. It was just been a tumultuous 6+, 7+ months. Hell, ever since the Super Bowl, it's just been a weird vibe through the hold in, hold out. And now he's lost for the year. Torn ACL. There's some MCL damage. Just brutal. How big of a loss for this offense, and how much of the slack is now rookie Ricky Pearsall going to have to pick up?
Well, I mean, they drafted him to be, you know, Brandon Ayuk, to be Deebo Samuel. That's what they drafted him for. They knew they couldn't pay everybody, and that was the challenge with Ayuk. And now you got him on the field. He's got, you know, one game under his belt. He looks like at least he's recovered, you know, from the, you know, from the tragedy that happened this summer. Looks like he's recovered. But now it's like you got to get him up to speed. And so find out, you know, what his best routes are. You know, work on the timing with him. Like, practice is really important right now. He's going to have to be a go-to guy. Third downs, you know, red zone, whatever. It'll help to get Juwan back. We've seen what he can do. You know, just the size alone is good. But, you know, they're, you know, if they can get McCaffrey back in the second half of the season, if they can get, you know, Pearsall up to speed, I mean, they can make a run still. I would expect them before the trade deadline, I expect them to make a move, especially, you know, at the defensive end spot. I think they need another player there that can rotate in. They need more pressure from their defensive front. And so I kind of expect that to happen. I mean, they've got some guys that are playing really well defensively right now. I don't know. Diamador Lenore is as good as it gets at that slot corner position right now. He's a playmaker. Mustafa is, I mean, he just pops every time you watch him. You know, he's, you know, he got some young guys that are playing really good football right now. I think getting Dre back at some point is going to help. I feel like this is a team like the Rams that has a chance to get really good the second half of the season when they get some of these guys back.
Yeah, we'll see about that, Baldy, with that schedule ramping up here to Dallas Cowboys. And one thing that's alarming with this 49ers offense, Baldy, I know we're talking so much offense this week, but that really was a disappointing effort because I thought the defense came out. And, you know, you get Patrick Mahomes to throw two interceptions. I mean, wow. You know, they really held down that passing game with Kansas City. But offensively, especially on obvious passing downs, there's too many free rushers, Baldy. We see it every single week. This team, going back to the Super Bowl, they can't block an overload blitz. There's miscommunications on the offensive line. What is Mike Zimmer going to bring to the table? Because he loves to bring those middle linebackers into the A-gap, and they act like they're blitzing, then they bail, they blitz, they bail. What is Mike Zimmer bringing to the table this week? Because they got embarrassed by Detroit, and I know that defense is going to be angry with Micah Parsons coming back in the lineup.
Well, I don't think anybody's better than Spags. Period. I mean, you know, what he did with Trent McDuffie and how he uses him. Because they, in the run game, too, like, you know, one thing about Ayuk, he was a great blocker, especially in the run game. Now, I don't know what Pearsall's like in the run game as far as blocking. It really didn't get a chance to see much of it. But if you're going to pop runs and you're going to, you know, open things up, your receivers have to block. And so you lose two great blockers in Deebo and Ayuk. Now, we will talk about them as receivers and playmakers, but their blocking is as good as it gets. And you got to be able to block if you're going to have explosive runs. So now we got to find out about that. But look, I mean, if Mike is back, I mean, that guy just wins one-on-ones better than anybody out there right now. So, you know, they had a, you know, in that game, it was a 14-12 game forever.
Yep.
Like at least two or three straight possessions. And, you know, they just could not, you know, they had the interception and they just couldn't take the lead, you know, and put pressure on that team. And that's, you know, that's, I mean, it, you know what they're going to do. It's not like they're going to surprise you. You kind of know who they are. I thought they blocked up some of the blitzes okay for the most part, but, you know, Zimmer's going to take a look at some of those things. He doesn't have the same type of defense, same type of looks that they do, like the way that they can show man in their looks when you motion a receiver across the field and then you double Ayuk off of that man look. Purdy just threw the ball in the dirt one time. It's like, I wanted to go to Ayuk and he's not there and I don't have anything else. I'll just bounce it off the dirt and I'll go to the next down. So like, that's what it forced him to do.
Baldy, listen, it's not a must-win game this week, obviously.
Yes, it is.
Baldy, they got to win this one. Baldy, it's desperation mode. Like, they go 3-5. I don't know if this team has the personnel to rally from a 3-5.
Both of these teams are desperate right now. We got Jerry Jones yelling at radio hosts out here, Baldy. Like, this is a massive Sunday night football game between two massive brands and two quarterbacks right now. Dak Prescott, who just got the bag, who's trying to live up to that contract, and a guy, Brock Purdy, who wants to get the bag and get that big contract. So it's huge, huge pressure on those guys this week.
Well, I mean, look, money is never a motivator to play great. I mean, either you play great or you don't play great. Yeah. So, you know, the bag and all, you know, what's out there, like, you know, this, the 49ers are looking at, are they really going to lose three games in a row at home? Are they really going to, is that really going to happen? You know, this is second primetime game right now. You know, it's a big stage. Everybody's going to talk about, oh, you know, poor San Francisco without Debo and Ayuk and McCaffrey and, you know, like, this is what you got to do. You got to find a way to win this game. And so I know that if I was Nick Bosa and I'm looking at Terrence Steele at one side and I'm looking at a rookie tackle on the other side, or at some point, you know, a rookie tackle out there and Tyler Guyton, I know my job is to make those guys look like they don't belong in this business. So, like, that's one guy, but, you know, they got to start taking the ball away, force the fumbles. They got to help their offense out. And Lord knows, like, it was a 14-12 game until McCall Hardman, you know, returned that punt.
Oh, God.
You know, their special teams are a joke. It's just a joke. I put a thing out there this morning. I showed four special team gaffes this year, whether it's kickoff return for a touchdown, long, you know, punts, punt blocks, you name it. Like, it just can't keep happening right now. It's atrocious. And field position is everything in these games. That's a 14-12 game. That field position gets flipped on that McCall Hardman, you know, run, return. And next thing you know, they take the lead. So, like, you got to tighten that up. That's got to get fixed.
Yeah, special teams, absolute joke this year for the 49ers. Baldy, where are you going to be at this weekend, man? I know we got to run here. I know you were in the Bay. There's nothing like the Bay. We loved having you out here. Where are you going this weekend?
Oh, man, primetime game in Washington, Chicago, Washington, Caleb, Jaden. Oh. Hope Jaden's ready to go. Yeah, he's got the ribs. I hope he can play. But, you know, I know if he can, he will. So that's prime time right now. We'll see. Because the NFC is changing right in front of us.
Yep.
You're going to see two teams on Sunday night. I'm going to see two teams that maybe that's the teams we should be talking about right now.
I'm serious. Chicago's got the defense. Caleb's getting better by the week. They're getting healthier. Yep. They're running the ball. Yep. Washington's a factor in the NFC East. We saw what Detroit did to Minnesota. Green Bay's coming along. Maybe there is a change in the guard in the NFC.
Yeah.
Maybe the Niners are going to have to rethink this thing in the offseason.
Well, I'm just like, you know, they're strapped cash-wise with a lot of these contracts they have. And so, you know, they're going to have to work it out for them. But, like, we might be watching the change of the guard this week in the NFC between, you know, Chicago and Washington and San Francisco and Dallas. Maybe and then Philadelphia goes to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And, you know, good luck trying to slow Joe Burrow down. So we might see a total changing in the NFC East, the NFC West, the whole thing.
Wow, the NFL, man, it's incredible. By the way, real quick, Baldy, Lamar Jackson, anybody playing better than him on the football field right now?
Nobody. Nobody's close. Nobody's close to him right now. I've watched it 3 weeks in a row where he's the best player on the planet at any position right now. There's nothing he can't do. And the thing that's, like, we always knew he could run. We always knew he's an athlete, get out of harm's way, this and that. His accuracy with the ball on every throw, deep ball to Bateman last night, every throw, under pressure, like, he knows, he doesn't get fooled. Nobody's fooling him. You can't fool that guy. And then the throws, like, the guy's accuracy is crazy good.
And then you give it to Derrick Henry, and it's like, oh, here, Derrick Henry, you're also playing like an MVP. You can just run down the defense
in the
fourth
quarter. MVPs, they got the two MVPs of the whole league in the backfield together right now.
Unbelievable.
Baldy, you're the best. We'll talk to you next Tuesday. Yep. We'll see if we're talking about a victory or a reevaluation of the 49ers. Baldy, always good stuff, brother.
Okay, yep. You got it, guys.
All right, Brian Baldinger here on the Morning Roast, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. With that, we'll take your calls, 888-957-9570. React to what Baldy had to say about the passing game, Purdy, Shanahan, all that stuff. But first, let's get to the injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Kyle Shanahan confirmed the worst-case scenario for Brandon Ayuk yesterday. So, unfortunate news. Unfortunate. 888-957-9570. Love to get the fans' thoughts about that. Shanahan announced that the receiver tore both his ACL and MCL during Sunday's loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. It was a hell of a catch by him. Got popped by the safety. ACL, MCL gone. More tests will need to be done, but the injuries start to be similar to the one Nick Bosa sustained back in 2020 when he tore both his ACL and MCL on the turf at MetLife Stadium. Hopefully, Brandon Ayuk is ready to go by the season opener next season, but damn, what a tough, tough six-month stretch for BA, who's coming off a career season. He did secure the contract, and he got his money there. Thank the heavens for that. But boy, the team's got to be kicking themselves, thinking, boy, how did this go down with Brandon Ayuk? What a lost season for him. All right, the injury report brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What is coming up on the game brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Your phone calls, 888-957-9570. Let's react to what Baldy had to say. Is the situation critical for the 49ers? What you hear about Purdy? His Tom Brady's thoughts on Brock Purdy when he talked to Baldy. We'll play all that coming up, plus take your phone calls. And don't forget, Dalton Johnson, 9 o'clock, NBC Sports Bay Area, talk a little Dubs here on The Roast.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.